Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1154. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
I am back from my second West Coast swing in a period of 2 weeks, and I feel like an old school wrestler now.
Oh.
I've been working the territories here as of late. And I am feeling a bit worse for the wear because of
Yeah, you
it.
sound like it.
So yeah, I'm not going to blame the equipment this time around. Quality equipment. Kevin's voice currently not doing well. So we'll
All
see
right.
how long this one lasts,
This ain't gonna
grandkids.
be one of those marathon shows, people.
Yeah, this is definitely not going 2.5 hours.
If you get 45 minutes, be happy.
Yeah, 'cause I mean it was wild. For as much wrestling as we normally cover on the show, NXT, AEW, and with AEW having a 3 hour show, A, neither of us got Collision for whatever reason. Despite
Oh, I could have
typically
watched
getting
Collision. I could have watched Collision live. I just chose not to.
Well, much like normal with me, I barely watch anything on time unless it's on the weekend. And yeah, did not realize until a little earlier this evening that A, I ended up watching last week and this week's Dynamite
Oh, yeah.
today.
That's a great sign when you can't tell the difference between one week and another.
And both of them were. I mean, I feel like Jeremy and I keep on talking about this. They were like inoffensive. They weren't really good. There were terrible, I know that there's shit that I can probably complain about, but for the most part, they were just fairly unremarkable, Like they moved some stories around along. But there's also stuff that just didn't make any sense going from week to week.
Dynamite's been like that lately. They got a pay-per-view coming up in a little over 2 weeks that has two official matches, I think, and
Oh, yeah.
one challenge that hasn't been accepted.
Yeah, because
So
what we
not
have,
official.
Takeshita versus Okada is official for Double or Nothing, if I'm not
Yes.
mistaken. I'm trying to remember just off the top of
And
my head
then
without looking at
FTR
anything.
versus Kope and Christian
Oh.
in the I Quit match,
Yeah.
which that whole thing to me is just getting really unnecessarily complicated. Like, why are all these extra people getting involved? Why are Ace Austin and Rocky Romero involved in this feud at all?
Yeah,
Why
when
did we do a
Rocky Romero was getting his ass kicked, I'm like, what? Why? Like, why am I supposed to care about this guy? Like, I know that it got some crowd reaction, but as a larger at large viewer, I'm like, this just doesn't make any sense here. Like,
No,
I don't care. Like, Rocky Romero always gets beat up. Like, why should I be excited if Edge and Christian are doing it now?
and then this whole thing with FTR now also feuding with the conglomeration, and they've picked up Ciampa as a trios partner. Like, you're already in the middle of a blood feud that you've been building for like a year now. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, and then that one just does not make any sense whatsoever either. Like you said, why are they involved in that? Like, they've got enough to occupy their time. Have the Trios Championship some other, with some other team.
Yeah,
I don't care what team. Like, make one up.
yeah, and then
Because they're
you.
making one up with FTR for the most
I
part.
mean, and that's just to get ahead, but we're also going to maybe truncate the show a bit. You got Okada with this big match with Takeshita they've been building to, and for whatever reason, Takeshita hasn't been on TV for the last 2 or 3 weeks that I can remember. So Okada's challenging Darby Allin for the world title next week? Why? And all what and okay, I know I'm trying to keep jumping around. Why are we open challenging the AEW championship right now? Like, why is Darby Allin wrestling on every single show defending the title against just about anybody? Not that Okada's just about anybody, but still, the point stands.
yeah, 'cause I mean they're just gonna burn through a lot of opponents here in short order for
Yeah, and
no real reason. Like, it's not gonna pay off at a pay-per-view at any point. Like, why do I care if it ends up being Darby and Okada at a pay-per-view at some point? You
No.
know, like why burn? Like, that match hasn't happened. Okada hasn't been serious pretty much his whole time in AEW. Save it for after his blood feud.
And why is he get yeah, and why is he going to lose to Darby Allin like a week and a half before his match with Takeshita? Like it doesn't make sense. How they've booked everything since the Shock title win has not made sense in any way of how you would want to build up a champion. I mean, it's you've made you the opposite of the problem WWE has a lot of time with champions. They made Darby Allin too regular. He's just defending the title all he defended the title on this show against Kevin Knight.
Yeah, it was
Who?
three. They kept on mentioning throughout the end there that it was the third consecutive week he's defended the title, and it's just like you said, like this is the complete polar opposite. Like, as much as I'm for like the IC title or US title kind of as a TV championship stand-in, you guys have a TV championship already. Use it that
Yes.
way. Which, again, that's another topic we can get to. Well, I guess we're talking about the main event sort of anyway because of Darby Allin.
Yes, because the TNT champion lost to the world champion. Just weeks and weeks into his reign here.
And I don't know how many times Jeremy and I, since we're the ones typically recording this one, we're like, why do you do this to other champ? Like, AEW just has the worst habit of having other champions lose to other champions on their television
It's
programming.
very 2000s WWE, because that happened on WWE TV a lot, along with tag team champions losing handicap matches to top guys. At least AEW hasn't done that one yet.
Yeah, they didn't take all of the bad habits. They just took some of
there's
them.
just yeah, there's yeah, like I said, there's yeah, Kevin Knight looked great in this match. The best I've seen him look. He showed fire, he showed passion, he was he worked stiff or snug, whatever you want to say. Yeah, but then he ultimately just lost, and Darby Allin just kind of made a quick comeback, hit one coffin drop, and it was over. After Knight hit Darby with everything, include but the kitchen sink, and Darby kept kicking it and just kicked out. Yeah, that's great.
yeah, I mean, just again, does not help your TNT champion at all.
No, no. This
You
is
know, 'cause people
and
just
your
can
Continental
make fun of
Champion's not
him
being
for
helped either.
losing.
Your Continental Champion's not about your con wait, no, wait, what International Champion? Is that what Okada has now?
yes, international.
Yeah, your International Champion is
Yeah,
that's not
because
is not gonna be helped now.
they consolidated the championships and then unconsolidated them within like a 4 month time frame.
Yeah, I know. I do remember.
Oh, I just like to highlight the absurdity. Not so much need to remind. okay. So there I feel like there is something else in all of these shenanigans that because I agree, I do agree. Best Kevin Knight, good promos the last couple of weeks. I feel like
Yeah, if that
I.
if the anchor wasn't standing next to him, it would be even better.
Oh yeah. He Kevin Knight needs to be a singles star. But we know how Tony Khan runs things, and unfortunately, he's probably going to have an anchor or two around. Good luck, Mr. Knight, seeing how things will happen here. So yeah, that was a loss. I'm trying to think of what else was kind of involved with all of this stuff that we were talking about. Good Lord, I have not been able to do anything correct today. Oh, no. Oh, dear Lord, they do not have the review on the usual site.
Oh.
That
Oh.
is wild. They have the collision, but not the dynamite. Okay, but because we covered Kevin Knight and Darby Allin, the tag team championship stuff, like. I tuned out almost right away for that match with Orange Cassidy and Dax Harwood to kind of go back to the beginning of that one, just because there was so much going on. Like, I couldn't believe that they put that on TV and then we're having a 10-man tag match later. Like, they
Yeah,
had like
it's
a 12-man segment and then had a 10-man match later in the show. It's just like, huh? Like, yeah, it seemed too familiar both times, honestly.
it really did. And again, it's just overkill. It's head in the hat type stuff. Like why are we, like we've cooled the Cope and Christian and FTR issue before they're supposed to have like this ultimate, this ultimate conclusion to their feud, this brutal match that's, someone's gonna say they quit. And meanwhile, you've got, as I said earlier, you've got Rocky Romero and Ace Austin hanging around the ring for reasons. Like, why is it, again, it's all why. Like, why are the conglomerate creation involved in this? Why is anyone from the Don Callis family involved in this? Yeah, and it's
Yeah.
just, yeah, it doesn't
No
it
idea whatsoever.
none of this makes sense makes any makes it makes any sense at all. It's, doesn't exactly make me want to, order Double or Nothing or any right at this point.
That was another point. Takeshita did show up just to taunt Okada after his win during
I
this
must have been down
episode
on,
of Dynamite.
I must have been looking at my phone at that time. Okay. But
Again, like, yeah, there should be more than that.
there should
Even
be.
if he's sending video packages from Japan, like,
I mean,
TK's got to work around
even.
what he's left himself with.
Even on a. But. Even on HBO Max for the reduced price, it's still $39.99 that they're asking people for these things. And even WWE and ESPN isn't more than $29.99, and in this billing period you get two PLEs for that. So again, AEW somehow gets over 100,000 buys for every show, even the ones that they do a piss poor job promoting. I don't totally understand how. I don't understand the people and their money sometimes. It feels like they, I guess, good thing, good for you for having the small but loyal audience that will that will pay for all your shows, no matter what you do.
Yeah, I mean
So I'll be so lucky.
it is really wild just to see the dichotomy between AEW spending habits especially now in light of the WWE's continued cuts and salary reductions.
Yeah.
You know, like it feels like sometimes AEW is just burning piles of money
They really are.
just for
And there's still
the
people they're paying to sit at home.
poops and giggles. Yeah, 'cause I saw one looking through my email, I see that Britt Baker is showing up at a Steelers women's, event sometime this month. When was the last time she's on AEW TV? Got no
It's
idea.
going on 2 years.
Yeah, like it has to be as long or longer. Like I was shocked. I can't remember. I think it was the last week's Dynamite that mentioned that Hikaru Shida was off for 500 days. And I'm like, it's got to be getting in that territory, if not more, for Miss Baker.
It has to be. It's gotta be going
So.
on. It's gotta be going on over 700 then. At that, it really, it's gotta be. It has to have blown past 500.
So, yeah, they still have people sitting on the bench, not really doing anything. Honestly, there are two guys on TV on both Dynamites that were doing a whole lot of nothing. Anthony Bowens and Shibata still with the ops.
Yeah, and
Still just
why is the why?
standing there with their arms crossed, doing
Yeah,
absolutely nothing.
like does any like who takes this group seriously anymore?
Yeah, like, yeah. Samoa
Hate to
Joe
say it,
hasn't done
yeah.
himself any favors.
No, it's getting to be time.
Yeah, like I enjoyed his championship run, but yeah, this version that they brought back and they're running with, it's kind of weird. Like he kind of has almost a Brock Lesnar type syndrome, where if he isn't a badass running through people, it's really hard to put him on TV.
Yeah, it is.
And I understand why he wants Will Ospreay, but again, I don't understand why we're crossing these stories either, though. You know, like why is he trying to recruit Will Ospreay to the ops? Jon Moxley at least has something to offer, I feel like.
That Moxley has more to offer than the ops do right now. That's definitely sure. That's definitely true. I mean, I've got my issues with some of the with the presentation of the Death Riders and how this whole thing has just kept going after its any logical endpoint. And but they're borderline. It's gotten to the point where they're just borderline faces at this point. And but
Oh.
they also pull back. I mean, so yeah, if they end up feuding with the ops and but Ospreay's got his own group who occasionally shows up in AEW and Forbidden Door's coming, so who knows where all this is going.
It's in a really weird. Yeah, this whole thing's in a weird spot.
Yeah,
Because, I mean,
everything in this company is. Nothing make nothing makes sense. There's no direct through line for any storylines, for any feuds going on. People are just in multiple people's business, and not in a way that's intriguing. It just feels more muddled and confusing.
Yeah, all of it just seems, like you said, confusing. Like, what? Why is this happening? And another why is this happening segment. I get that Chris Jericho and Ricochet have been feuding. Why is Ricochet offering a Stadium Stampede match for a group that is three people when Stadium Stampedes are usually four versus four?
Oh, it's five. I think it's five
Or is
versus
it
five,
five versus
actually.
five?
So they both
Okay.
have to. So after the events of okay, they make the challenge. They beat down Jericho. The Hurt Business makes the save. So unless MVP is wrestling, that's three on one side and three on the other side. They have to. They now have to scrounge up and find two other people. These matches should be designed for factions of this size to take on factions of that size, and they collide after months of it's the final war, after all the after all the smaller battles. This doesn't feel like it's earned that. Like
No.
anything here, it's unearned.
Yeah, and as much as Jericho has used the Hurt Business's help,
They make no sense together.
I mean, they're literally
Like
going,
it
yeah,
is.
I'm paying them enough. And it's just like, okay, but it's one of those, it doesn't help me get into the story that you're just paying them and that's why they're doing it.
Why do they need your money? Shouldn't they have enough of their own money?
That is a question you could ask all the time about the Hurt
Yes.
Business.
I mean, I don't know if Lashley is any way. I'm sure Shelton's in a better position, but I don't think maybe and Lashley's playing out the final quarter of his career too. I know he had his
They are.
frustrations in WWE, and he's been paid well here and what have you. So I'm sure he's fine, but it's just a weird.
Yeah, at
They
best, he's in the
never.
same spot as he was in the WWE.
Yeah, and he's
If not a slightly worse
not
spot.
having. He's not getting the high either, because he's not being put in title contention.
No, he mentioned the championship once, and then I feel like he got injured relatively recently, and that really killed all of that momentum. And it's one of those. If you lose momentum in that company, you're just dead in the water. Tony Khan does not revisit that stuff
No.
because he probably bought another shiny toy that he wants to play with more. So, and this was one where. Okay. Yeah, the two more just doesn't make any sense. Hikaru Shida and Chris Statlander take on Mina Shirakawa and Harley Cameron.
I don't understand this storyline at all. I don't. They, in the past, they've made reference to Statlander and Shida being some great tag team before. I don't have no memory of them ever teaming previous to this year.
Yes. And that's what also helped with this to me being the doesn't make any sense segment, because last week they mentioned them being a great team. Even if it wasn't on your TV, tell us where it happened. Like the
Yes.
WWE, as long as it isn't AEW, they're like, oh, they were champions, here, here, or here. Like they fill you in. Like again, like this is another one that just drives me bananas about this company. Like the announcers should be filling us in, and they just do these general like, oh yeah, they've tagged more than Statlander and Willow and Statlander and someone else who've been on TV on AEW TV consistently. It's just like great, but. Again, tell us where, tell us why. Also, don't
I'm
play
still not
the
sure I believe it because I'm still not. I'm trying to
well
look at Hikaru Shida's cage match and I'm still not seeing it.
well, the other thing that's weird to me just in this whole situation is then in one breath the announcers are saying that, But then they're like, oh, these are just two champions fighting together, but are they a real team? And it's just like, guys, you have competing narratives that you're putting out on, like, just
Did
yourself.
that yeah, did they confuse something last week when they said that?
I have no idea because I'm with you. I do not necessarily recall them tagging in the earlier days of AEW.
And women's tag teams are a relatively new thing in AEW as an actual division with a championship.
Yes. So if they fought in a tag team, like there could have been another two people having a feud with them. So I was not out of the realm of possibility, but it's also not a consistent tag team.
No.
And again, like I and then the other thing about this that struck me as weird is last week you have Statlander and Sheeta lose to the tag team champions. This week you have them in basically a squash match. I feel like without
Yeah.
Willow there, neither Mina Shirakawa nor Harley Cameron are going to get a whole lot of big wins.
No, they're not. And it doesn't seem like none of this is going anywhere. It's not getting anyone in a serious contention for the tag team championships. It's not getting anyone in serious contention for the women for the world championship. Sheeta has always felt like we couldn't sign Io Sky when AEW started. So here's Sheeta. Because their pushes were very mirrored in the early days.
Well, yeah, and then every time she won a championship, because I think she was a three-time champion, she lost it like less than a month later, or a month later at most. And it's just like they never seemed to put a whole lot of weight behind her.
No.
I liked her, and I thought she was adapting to more of an American style of wrestling. Or at least presentation, rather than a Japanese one. The problem, though, was that again, like she just spent 500 days, supposedly because of a visa, off TV, and you kind of brought her back cold. And then even this
Yeah,
tag
very cold,
team,
yeah.
I'm not quite sure why it
There were
happened to start with either.
there were allusions to Sheeta being a suspect in who took out Toni Storm, which is why Shirakawa was mad at her.
Oh.
I don't remember exactly how Chris Statlander and her started teaming, and I don't know why I don't know how Harley Cameron got involved. And I watch the show every week. Oh, and I have found an episode of Dynamite in June of 2020 where they teamed.
Wow. They teamed a whole once. That makes them tag team experts.
There may have been one more. Yes, yeah, I'm not joking. It's the only time. Okay, I got okay, okay, I'll, okay.
yes.
I got a question. Okay, I got one question answered. They teamed a whole once, yes. But yeah, this whole thing, like it's a blur of if there's logical reasons behind why Sheeta's teaming with Statlander, while Statlander feels resistant to teaming with Sheeta, but is acting like she doesn't have a choice in the matter. It's just
Yes, that's
And she's
a
going
pretty
after
accurate
Harley Cameron,
description.
who she has been associated with. She's now fighting with Harley Cameron, who she has been associated with, who she has been friends with.
Yeah, right after she made up with Willow, like a month or two ago.
Yeah, that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, like, and obviously, yeah, for whatever reason, Willow was not around, injury or otherwise. Because I'm not sure that that was meant. I feel like it something was mentioned, but I may not remember what the exactly was said. But the yeah, like you should have been friends with Harley Cameron. You should have been maybe a little resistant to attacking her within this match. And none of that
I
was
think she
present.
was more hesitant. I think she was
Oh, okay.
upset. I think she did get upset with Sheeta when she was being rough with Harley, I think. But again,
Oh.
this match happened last night, and I already don't remember it. And you just saw it, and you just watched it. And somehow we still don't remember it because we still haven't.
Yeah, because it's confusing storytelling.
It is a confusing storytelling. It's bad storytelling. It's nothing but bad storytelling. I'm not giving them any quarter here.
And then to continue with the stream of confusion here. I like Bandido a lot. It really seems like a step down for Swerve to be feuding with him. Bandido's barely on TV.
Right.
And when he is, he's been in a tag team. The only time he's won is in a tag team with Brody King. You can tell me he's ROH champion as many times as you want to. If he is losing on AEW TV on a consistent basis, I do not care about that ROH championship. And
Yeah.
that's what's happened over the last couple of years. Like, he's shown up from time to time, hasn't really done a whole lot though. Has not really done a whole lot. And yeah, like I again, like Swerve, really feels like a step down for him to. Like I don't think he's gonna be the one to elevate Bandido in AEW just because I'm not sure how many times we've gotten an ROH champion get a big win at either TV or pay-per-view against an AEW talent. You
Oh, I
know,
don't know.
so it's like this feud just doesn't really serve anyone as far as I'm concerned. You know, like it, if Swerve wins, it's just like, well, yeah, he should. And if he loses, it's kind of like, oh, why'd you lose to the guy that everyone loses to or beats? Not a great position to be in. And I'm trying. This is one where I feel like we may have talked about potential. I really liked Rouge the first time I saw him in Ring of Honor many a year ago at this point. Definitely pre-Tony Khan era. This guy has not been able to stay on TV since that time period on any
No, he has not.
consistent basis. And this is another one where they did a video package for him, and I'm like, there is nothing in this video package that is really making me believe in Roosh. Even again, like the announcers, I do feel like sold it. I don't care though, you know, like
It's like trying to promote Pac at this point. It's just like, what, why?
yeah.
He's just gonna disappear.
Yep. Yeah. So
And speaking of
that
which, Pac is getting an AEW championship match on Saturday during Fairway to Hell after golf coverage on Collision. I believe that's the gimmick.
yes. It is amusing as it was that Collision did not record yesterday. Fairway to Hell set to record on the DVR because I did even go that far to look for yesterday's Collision. And yeah, I don't think there was much else just because neither of us ended up watching Collision. Don't think there's anything else to talk about. You know,
Definitely
is
not,
there any hanging
and
chads there for
we're
you?
no, definitely not, and we're all we talk longer about AEW than I think we thought we were. We're going to.
Complaining always helps length of
Yeah, I
time.
guess.
Speaking of complaining, it is your I would imagine favorite time in NXT when they introduce a just utter boatload of new talent
Oh, I
and
love this. I live for this. Yes, I just I
I
and I
remember the
think I
last
think the new
cycle
talent
that
is
you
such,
loved
and I
it.
think all this new talent has so much potential. I still haven't gotten into anyone from anyone from the batch from the first batch this year after Oba and Trick and Javon left. Forget, for goodness sakes. I'm just.
Yeah, this has been a pretty big infusion of talent.
Yes.
And yeah, it kind of makes it tough to completely evaluate just because there's
Yeah, no,
still going to be a
it is
lot of
a.
development to be had from this
Yeah,
episode on.
no. It is truly developmental right now, and they this because the new, darker, broodier Tony D, I would say that's fair to say, hasn't really caught on. And their women's roster has been devastated as along with their men's. There are no stars on this show right now. There is no one you can point to and say that's the star of NXT right now, or or even a group of people in the way that you could even before all the latest exodus of Saints. Yeah. Heat Page and Sol Ruka and Fatal Influence
Yeah,
and
like
Mike Monroe.
I feel like they've done a better job of covering it up in the past.
Oh yeah, there was always people. There were people who were ready to take that next jump. The doing two mass call-ups in about 3 months of each other. Yeah, no, there was no time to prepare this.
No.
And I'm not, and I have not, as I said, I have not gotten into almost any of the people from like the January, influx of new talent. Like I don't care. I mean, this is a show. I can honestly say I don't care about this show. And if I didn't have to, and I didn't have to record this week, I wouldn't have watched it.
Yeah, don't completely blame you because much like we were complaining about AEW, about people being involved in too many storylines, I never mind that the champion is a marked man situation,
No, it's
but
it, you can
also
do it.
how they're going about it with Tony
Yes.
D is not it to me. Like,
No, it's not it. No, people who we have never seen in a match before, unless you watch LFG or Evolve or whatever the hell, or something or some show out of England or whatever, or
oh
out
yeah,
of Europe or whatever, it's like.
unless you're a Progress Wrestling fan.
Yes, unless you're a Progress fan, like, what are you doing? I mean, you got this one guy who's, well, only claim to fame is that he's married to Maxine Dupri. He's getting to jump on Tony D in the back. You got, the, what are they calling him now? What are they calling the heavy
Oh,
set fella from England?
Mason Rook.
Mason Rook. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Call me fat phobic. Get Wilson, but I'm not. I it's gonna take a lot to get me to take this guy seriously.
Yeah, a lot of people are definitely sticking up for the man.
Including John Cena.
Yeah, including John Cena, which is
What
a
does he know?
pretty big voice
What
to
does he know?
get behind you. But it still is one of those ones where he hasn't proven anything.
No, he
So
hasn't.
it is a tough sell off the jump, especially when you have one of your announcers saying that the week before that it was a woman, and then acting surprised this week that it was a man.
Oh. Boy.
Yeah, Booker T
Ooh.
thought that it was a woman
And
last
then Vic
week.
Joseph thought it was a fan. Is that a fan? Yeah, that's not gonna that helped. That's gonna help the situation. Even
Yeah,
more.
like it's an old way of looking at wrestling that obviously you and I have probably seen before. It's not a good way to present today, in my opinion. You
No.
know, like again, like I was giving AEW a hard time about not touting what they had there as far as hyping people up. Mason Rook, I believe I saw him on a Twitter post with the Progress Championship. Again, like this is the type of thing that you should be filling us in on and not, oh, is this some fan that jumped the guardrail? Well, then why doesn't every fan jump the
Yeah,
guardrail? Hey.
that's always been a question if when companies have done jump the guard, debut jumping the guardrail, angles. But it's been a part of wrestling for a long time. But that no one that so few people were gonna know who this guy was, and he. I'm just gonna be. I'm just gonna be. I'm just gonna be saying the nicest way possible. He doesn't look impressive. I mean, he can do a moonsault. He's a fat guy who can do a moonsault. Well, Vader was doing that, 35 years ago. So, sorry. Anyway more than that guy.
Well, that is one of those things. It's someone with his size and agility, we'll just call it for the time being here. It's been done enough in wrestling that it is a harder sell these days, in my opinion, for anyone that's kind of watched any amount of time. They've seen other big men this size, whether, I mean, you can even just, you don't even need to go back that far. You can say Keith Lee. You know, just from a couple of years ago in NXT, was doing this type of stuff and is a bigger human being.
Bigger human being, more impressive looking human being. Some people are just look out of shape. And unless he has those Mick Foley, Kevin Owens qualities to rise up to rise above it, this isn't going to go well for this young man.
Yeah, those are good examples of at least working within that body type to get yourself over and fairly modern examples here. So yeah, Mason Rook, it does seem like he's got a lot of work to do.
And
And I
then
yeah.
having him jump the champion in his first week, 2 weeks, where do you go from there? He's you're setting him up for a match he's going to lose.
Yes, and we have
Before
champion
anyone's
versus,
before anyone's go ahead.
well, we've complained about champion versus champion matches, and then this is another hobby horse. You know, bringing someone in right away and challenging for a championship, because especially when it's the top one, they're more than likely going to lose, and it's not going to help them in the long run. So, yeah, putting him in the championship fight at this point does not seem like a great point to start him out at.
No, and then you got now you got this really new guy, jumping Tony D. I forget his name, but I know. Then he did that in the back. You got the
Oh,
what's
yeah,
Evil's
I
new name?
forgot. Oh, are they not calling him evil?
No, they're not calling him evil. No.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's Naraku
But
or something like that.
he's the only. Okay, I did not remember them mentioning that last night. Let me see if I can find it in the report here.
Naraku, I was right.
Oh, okay.
I mean, but it looks like they're going to kind of double back more with him and actually have him have a proper debut next week. And yes, he has more of a, obviously, more of a reputation that precedes him and that more people would have scene, but it's New Japan. He's,
Yes,
he
when even this
in
podcast is not watching your product,
yes, that's what I was gonna say.
it's definitely taken a hit.
Yes, and that was in the right in the era of him becoming champion, and a lot of people think saying outkicking is cover. Or over, outkicking his coverage or whatever, and not any kind of good way. Like he should not have been shouldn't have been given the ball in the first place. He should, he should have, he should, that shouldn't have been his in the first place. He was never that guy. He was, a middle of the pack guy and also in a tag team during the era I was watching.
In
Didn't.
a long-term tag team
Very long-term tag team
at
didn't, you know,
that.
so you're starting at another guy, on the older side with a big international reputation, but not as big as as many of his counterparts. Nowhere near Nakamura, nowhere near Okada. He doesn't have that reputation does not precede him.
Like he is the only. It is kind of wild that you can say the same thing at the same time that he's the only guy that they brought in with a lot of experience to help replace all of the experience that just left. But then also agree with your point that he just is not as big a name as Nakamura or anyone else that they brought
And
in.
that's kind of getting into the era of NXT we're in. The Xerox of a Xerox. It's like we're in the Xerox of a Xerox era. I mean, look at Keanu Carver. This man looks uncomfortably like Obafemi. It's just like and to me, and it's just like he's not. It gets to the point where you just might as well call him not Obafemi, or Obafemi on Timu, from Timu Obafemi. It's just.
I'm willing to give him a little more of a chance. I liked the promo this week. It started to
That was a
fill
different way
in
to do
some gaps
something.
for him that they haven't done because they've just had him come out and be angry guy who beats people up. Hey, that works for a while. I like a little bit of substance with my wrestlers. It was weird to be introducing your new reporter at the same time. It maybe kind of worked to her benefit. It is kind of funny though, just with the fact that it's like, oh, I was a football player, but I had problems, but I'm super smart. I'm like, you guys like literally just did this with Dion Lennox. Like it's almost a carbon copy, except for Keanu Carver's a much larger gentleman.
He is a large gentleman, and I think there's, I and then there's definitely potential there, but they literally, even if you don't think they look that much of a like, he was still put almost like the week after Obafemi left, he essentially
Oh, he
debuted
shows up.
and just started wrecking shop like Obafemi, like.
He,
The
they are
comparisons
definitely
are there.
trying.
The comparisons are fair.
Yes. They're definitely
I'm
there.
not a racist, I swear.
Yeah,
No, but yeah, it's again. So it speaks to this. Just like the talent that it kind of carried NXT through this last era is just about all gone. And you're left with Zarya, who was. Who ended up being like the number three draft pick after Steffi
Vicaire and
Vicaire
Julia.
and Julia and
Yeah.
then was passed and still kind of passed up by other people. I mean, I don't think people
Yeah,
saw.
not just her own partner and Sol Ruka, but even the champion right now, has been there about the same amount of
Yeah, I
time
know a Lola
with
Vice and
Lola Vice.
I mean and then you consider on the heel side, like I don't think a lot of people saw JC Jane's big run coming the way that it did. Because she'd been there for so long and seemed like someone who for a bit after the fatal toxic attraction breakup took place and everything happened with Mandy Rose and all that, that she felt like she could have been on a cut list at some point until the
Would
whole
not have been completely surprising
no until
at
the whole
that
Fatal
time.
Influence thing took off and she really came into her own. And but again, that's another person who leapfrogged Zarya and but now
Oh,
Zarya
yeah.
has to take on a role as I imagine Zarya. They're going to keep Zarya and Lola Vice away from each other for a bit here so
Oh.
that they can that can be kind of the big match the women's division is down the line.
Agreed. Yeah, that seems like that has potential to be a bigger championship match for two people that have been around a little bit longer and definitely have had even plenty of NXT TV time. Because and staying in the women's division and talking about not being completely impressed, I was a little bit surprised, but not completely surprised, I suppose, that Callie Armstrong ends up beating Jada Parker. And now we're getting a Jada Parker Natalya team up. I'm like,
This Jada Parker, crisis of confidence storyline seems to have come out of left field for me. I don't feel like she was on like this giant losing streak. She's been on this giant losing streak, or at least not one that's been repeated, that's been followed up on, like her frustrations growing. So it felt, again,
yes,
it felt a
agreed.
kind of, I
Like
felt a bit
it
out of left field.
even I feel like they may have mentioned it like a week or two ago, but because she's not been on TV on a consistent basis, it was a real hard sell to like have her, like you said, have a crisis of conscience about being able to win. So it's just
Yeah.
like, yeah, why does she need Natalya? Like, she's
I
lost
mean,
two matches, maybe.
I guess she ultimately lost the feud to Blake Monroe, but she hasn't really been on the T on TV much since as much since then. And now and yeah, yeah now and why was Natty walking around the dressing room of a place she doesn't work in full gear?
Well, she's the opposite of Harley Cameron was not in her wrestling gear when Mina Shirakawa exposed her on Dynamite there.
Yeah.
This was the complete opposite for some reason. Natalya just hanging around the old NXT locker room gear on, ready to go.
I guess so.
But yeah, like I didn't. Someone else I saw on Twitter post about it. I was not super excited about a shoulder block being anyone's finisher. Hey.
No, it.
So that was the other weird thing. Callie Armstrong, the Jada Parker storyline's one weird thing. Callie Armstrong having that lame of a finish. Oh boy. Like, it's just like when you have someone that looks like that and just a plain shoulder block is the finish. I don't know. It's so funny that you turn it into the pounce and it makes a lot more sense. But just like
Yes.
when John Cena used to do what, two or three shoulder blocks before setting up the you can't see me, it feels really weird to have that as a finisher.
No. That Even the Ultimate Warrior added a splash or the press slam followed by the splash to the back.
Yeah,
And he got some
so
air at least on that thing. She didn't particularly.
no, as much as she did the run to build up speed, it was not I know that it's comparing it to man, but we're just gonna roll with it. It was not like a Bron Breakker type of situation where you were just super impressed by the amount of speed. Is she faster than me? I guarantee it. Did it look impressive on TV? No. Boy, they are doing everything they can to try and make Birthright a thing.
Yeah,
And
except having them win matches.
this is a true statement.
Yeah.
Oh boy, yeah. These guys, I don't care how many times you put Fit Finley or William Regal on TV. Not gonna help.
No, no, no,
Just a
there's
bunch
nothing's
of
gonna help these
bums.
guys. They're all bums. Yes, that's a good word for it. Bums.
One thing I did I think it's an interesting pairing to have Micah Lockwood be in league with the Varsity. No, it's not Varsity Club. What the fuck is their name? Jackson Drake, Brad Baylor, and Ricky Smokes. What are they calling themselves? The ambiguously gay trio.
Yeah, well, that well, that's not what they're calling themselves. No, that's not varsity. That's not high
Yes.
school. It's college. It's a the Vanity Project.
Vanity Project. Yeah. Okay. And that's why I had V on the mind.
Yes, it is. It is. Yes, the Vanity Project. Yeah,
I do like that team up there because as funny as it is, it gives them an enforcer.
It does. I see what they're going for here. It could be amusing. I don't know what you do with her long term.
That is a question that yeah, I'll worry about that one later, I
Yeah, but
suppose.
it's
Like
yeah,
the immediate
and these guys
grouping
are gonna,
I enjoyed.
and these guys are. It's one of those things that could, that these goofy things that could get over NXT, but it's gonna die. But it's gonna die a death on the main roster. I have a feeling.
Oh yeah, these guys need to develop new
Everything.
personalities before they move to the main roster.
And grow a foot in height and gain 50 pounds.
That will help. Kind of talked about the Zarya situation. I don't know if there's really much to add that about Lizzie Rain and Nikita Lyons showing up to the party.
Yeah, I don't know if that's
Well, and
necessary.
Tatum
Yeah,
Paxley, just because
Tatum
there's a spell
Paxley
involved.
with Zarya. I don't know why we don't just go with Cesaro and Tatum Paxley. I don't know why. Well, let's give Lizzie Rain some time to breathe here, and Nikita
Oh.
Lyons. I thought we gave up on this.
Yeah, that's one where I'm okay if you're gonna have her fill one of the gaps. I still feel like the women's side is more equipped to rebuild on the NXT brand. But just like Lizzie Rain, like you're talking, let her breathe. Let Nikita Lyons reboot herself and breathe.
If we're gonna do anything with her, it's not gonna come from just throwing her into a title situation in a match that she's, again, it's a match that she's gonna lose, and that's it. She's branded a failure again, and then Lizzie Rain also definitely should not be put in that kind of any kind of position to lose anything. obviously Zarya and Tatum Paxley, other than Tony D, are might actually be the your centerpieces of NXT at this point. For people that have been around and the audience reacts to.
Yes. Yeah, they are gonna be a focal point. I would imagine moving forward. So,
And of course, our champion Lola Vice, which is a good transition to probably what we would want to talk about next. Her burgeoning feud with Izzy Dame resulted in a mixed tag match where the Triple A mixed tag team champions took an L.
to a team that involved Nico Vance.
Yeah.
That is wild.
That is wild.
Not completely surprised though. It definitely feels like they have plans for Izzy Dame.
Yeah, they
They
do.
may have gotten a little short-circuited. I'm not sure if they expected the popularity of Tatum Paxley after she won. And I feel like more times than not, Izzy Dame would be the NXT North American champion at the current moment, but is not, so was not completely
I mean,
surprised.
I'm not loving this thing because we did just see Izzy Dame lose to Tatum Paxley twice, and then she's getting put into the women's title picture with no transition at all, with no there was no rebound win for this is I guess this is a Izzy Dame's rebound. Yeah.
Yes.
Logically, she needed that. If we're actually going to justify her in a title match, she needed to get this the pinfall win over Lola Vice.
Yeah. And another build-up win would not hurt, honestly. Definitely would
Yeah.
not hurt if something happened between those two taking each other on.
Yeah.
Also wild that Cutler James and Osiris Griffin are the ones to get Dark State back on track with the win over Hank and Tank. Oh boy. I feel like Hank and Tank's ceiling is the tag team. And if they don't get the call up, their ceiling could be NXT.
Yeah. They've just never gotten any kind of second gear with them. They feel like they feel like this team we've seen before. In terms of two big loud guys get together and they do big man powers, double team stuff, and they're not bad or anything, but it's they're two Otises basically. We already have an Otis, and we don't push him either. They don't push him either.
fair way to go with that, sir. Fair way to go with that. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Cutler James and Osiris Griffin actually get a little bit of shine out of
Yeah.
this whole
Yeah.
situation or not.
I've never bought into this Dark State thing. It didn't work.
And they haven't won enough. This is
No, they
one of
have
the
not.
few things that they've actually won. So we'll see if they can get on track with this thing. I'm trying. Let me see if there was anything else. Not really. Because we had the Tony D at Tavion Heights non-title match. And yeah, Tavion Heights, another guy just kind of dead in the water.
Yeah.
I really don't know what you do with that guy at
No,
this point.
there's
Like,
just nothing. There's not enough there. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah. So, not great to already get a championship match and lose it for that young
I
man.
mean, I'm pretty sure it
So,
was a non-title match, but
oh,
but he,
well,
but that, which makes it even worse that he lost it. That means they have no plans for you going
Yeah,
forward.
you officially have no plans. You're not even going to lose a championship match. So yeah, I think that wraps it up, sir.
Yes, I believe so.
Because of the sickness, there is no bell time beer this evening. So I will say, oh, let me pull up the picture here. When I was in Arizona this past weekend, I did have one whole beverage that was not a
Wow.
mixed drink.
Oh,
And
okay.
I'm trying to pull that up right now. 'Cause Four Peaks Brewing Island Daydream. Dream Big Tropical Imperial IPA, 9% alcohol. And it lived up to the billing. It tasted very tropical, very fruity, very with that little hop underlie to it. A very good beer, Four Peaks Brewing out of Phoenix, Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. So they at least have one good beer. I will say that much. So maybe if you happen to be in the Phoenix area, go test out their brewery and let me know how it is with more different choices. So that is the
Okay.
bell time beer suggestion from at DeFrango 11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.